Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules in beautiful, refreshing, and economically thriving Southern California. Okay, tonight we're really going to get serious here about finances. I know that everyone out there is being bombarded by negative doomsday messages about our economy being in terrible shape. No matter where we turn, the TV, newspapers, radio, internet, everywhere are forever telling us that we're going to lose our jobs, our homes, our future. Well, I'm here to tell you that is not true. Don't believe that garbage for a second. Tonight, my guest is New York Times best-selling author and internationally recognized expert in the area of goal achievement. Peggy McCall is here to share her plan that can change anyone's fortunes around and attract the wealth that they deserve and desire, no matter what's happening in the outside environment. Her book, 21 Distinctions of Wealth, Attract the Abundance You Deserve, explains how to use the force of the law of attraction and magnetic power of one's own emotions to tap into the flow of abundance that is always, always available to us. So listen up. This is important. Good evening, Peggy. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Julie. It is such a pleasure to be here.
Peggy, let's start off at the beginning here. What is a distinction of wealth?
Well, that's a really important question. I think a lot of people think that when they look at 21 distinctions of wealth, because why are they called distinctions and not beliefs or, you know, truisms of wealth? Well, distinction has been known as something that sort of stands out, or as they say, bears the mark of excellence. And so what distinction is, it's really, in my opinion, what I believe, it's just a strong word to use to communicate that these are important understandings that we really need to grab onto, but we don't really need to grab onto. We may want to or choose to grab onto if we'd like to attract more abundance and enjoy more abundance in our life. And so the 21 Distinctions of Wealth was something that I created right after a very painful emotional experience that I had where I thought I was going to lose everything. And I just decided, you know what? I know better than this. And I think there's a lot of wisdom within all of us. And so what I did was I created the 21 Distinctions of Wealth for myself as a tool. And when I used them and really believed in these beliefs or these distinctions of wealth, when I truly, they became a part of me, that's when my life really turned around. And that's when my financial situation turned around. And I went from being $250,000 in debt to $250,000 in assets over a very short period of time. And it's only grown since then.
Okay, I'm all ears. I want to learn how you did that. But I also want to find out why 21 distinctions? Why not another number?
Yeah, why did you stop there? Well, here's what I did. See, when I had this experience of, oh my goodness, I'm going to lose everything, and I was, you know, I did the only thing that I could think of, and that is I sort of knelt down on the floor in my kitchen and sat there with my back up against the dishwasher, and I started to cry because I just felt completely desperate. I didn't know what else to do. I hadn't made any money, and I was concerned about, you know, if I was going to lose my house, and I had all this big stress on me. I was a single mom at the time. I had a little boy, he was in school, and I had responsibilities, and I just didn't have a clue how I was going to get the money that I needed. And so when I decided, you know what, I know better than this, and I remembered hearing the words of Bob Proctor, who's one of my great mentors, and these words came to my mind, and the words were, do not cry over anything that won't cry over you. So don't cry over anything that won't cry over you. Money's not going to cry over you. You know, debt's not going to cry over you. So get off the floor and do something about it. Just start to remember what you already know that you've simply forgotten. And so I sat down at my kitchen table and I thought, okay, what is really the truth about wealth? And I started to write them down. I'm already born rich. You know, I am already rich. I was born that way. I've just forgotten that. You know, and the willingness to give it all up leads to having it all. And there is an infinite supply in the universe. And so what happened was I just started to write and I stopped when I got to 21. It was like I looked at it and thought, that's it. That's the complete list. So I didn't sit down and write 1, 2, 3 as if I was going to, you know, find a way to come up with 21 distinctions of wealth. That I just came up with them, and when I was done, I thought, that's it. It's a completed list.
So give me a distinction.
All right. Well, you know, there's a few that are my favorite, my absolute favorite distinctions, and one of them is distinction number 8, and that is you don't have to know how you'll get what you want. You just have to decide what you want, and that's really where the starting point is. And I think what happens is it's a starting point and a finish point for a lot of people, because people will say, okay, I'd like to have that, but I don't know how I'm going to get it, so cancel. It's like plant the seed, pull it out, plant the seed, pull it out. I'd like that, but I don't know how I'm going to do it, so throw it away. And there's a story in 21 Distinctions of Wealth, and it's sort of like a shorter version of a longer story that's also in my other book, Your Destiny Switch, where I talk about how when I was getting divorced from my husband and I was wanting to purchase a home, I didn't have any money. And so I had the desire that was to own a home. And so I knew what I wanted. I just didn't know how I was going to do it. And the house that my husband and I were living in, we kept decreasing the price. It was for sale, but we had to decrease the price because it was a market that was declining. You know, I think a lot of people can really relate to that today.
Absolutely.
You know, it was in a real estate market. We had it for sale. Nobody was buying it. We had it for sale for 2 years and dropped the price twice. And so we're running out of equity in the home. And so I all this time I had a gold card written out. A gold card is just a little small index card that I carried in my pocket. And it said the following. It said, I am so happy and so grateful. So there we include the emotions, right? I'm so happy and so grateful now that I own my beautiful 4-bedroom home in a gorgeous subdivision. I have a double garage, I have 3 bathrooms, I have a gorgeous living room, family room, and I just described, you know, everything that I saw in my home. It's beautifully decorated, it's professionally landscaped, it's in a gorgeous area, it's close to schools, close to parks, all of that. Now, I had this on this index card, and I would read it every single day, multiple times a day. That was my desire. That was like the thing that I was focused on having. And because I had a lot of emotions attached to it, meaning I would feel what it felt like to have it, I'd feel the joy, I'd feel the happiness, I'd feel the gratitude, I'd feel the love, I'd feel just the appreciation of all of it, I ended up attracting all the money I needed. And I landed in this home that was for sale for $250,000, and I went and bought it without having any money, and I thought, I'm going to put in an offer and I'm going to figure it out. I'm just going to put in an offer and I'm going to figure it out, and I did, and I ended up making all the money I needed from a stock sale. And that's sort of like the short version of a much longer story. But I didn't know how I was going to get, and I'm not someone who plays the market. I actually don't really know a lot about the market. You know, the stock market, it's not something that I've played in. I have actual financial advisor, and he takes care of my investment account for me and does a good job. I'm very conservative in that area. But when I was looking to buy this house, I didn't know where I'd get the money for it. I didn't know where I'd get the money to come up with the down payment to even move in. And so ideas just came to me. And then, so I got money with just one idea. And then, of course, I got I earned all the money with the stock market transaction that landed me in the home, and I owned it. I owned that home for 8 years before I sold it for a significant profit.
Oh, I love hearing these success stories. Speaking about the stock market, what's your take on what's going on right now with the U.S. economy?
Well, you know, what's happening right now, and it's quite an interesting time, is that there is the world, or even North America, is all consumed in fear. And fear is a very destructive emotion. And it's kind of like a virus that can just contaminate. And it's like wherever it hits, it just starts to spread and it'll continue to contaminate. And a lot of people will continue to contribute to this fear. And, of course, behaviors will be a result of that fear. And things like people will stop spending, or people will start to to bail, like sell their homes for less than what they're really worth, or sell their portfolios on the stock market. But if you think about, like a lot of people that have their money in the markets, have their money in the markets as an investment, and there's no reason to just cash out, and that's what happens. A lot of people end up cashing out. That's why it's absolutely known that people can make money, and people have made money, a lot of money, in markets that are low, in bear markets. People make money in bull markets. They make money in bear markets. And so if you look back at any of the other times in history where there have been financial challenges, there are a lot of people who look at it as an opportunity. And they look at it in a different way. So if you don't even know, well, what's involved in perhaps investing in this type of market, then maybe this is the time to buy. And even if you don't have the money, maybe there's another way. There's always a way when you're committed. And so I think what people need to do is get creative. It's like an energy that you can turn on that's within you. Turn on your creativity. Get excited about the opportunities that are there. Really do everything you can to get out of that fear mode. You see, fear and faith are on the same switch. Now, if you think of on a dining room wall as an example, and I have this here in my home, I have a switch that will illuminate the light when I move my dimmer switch up to the top, or if I want the lights low, then I can push it down. Our emotions are very much like that. And if I want to illuminate my emotion of faith, meaning I'm feeling strong and everything looks bright, I just move that emotion up to the top. Now, if I'm feeling fearful, if I'm all caught up in what's going on in this economy and I'm feeling that fear, everything becomes dark and bleak. And that's when there's so much fear, and it really becomes a challenge for people to get out of it. So what I suggest is start to look for the opportunities. Start to think about and feel what you're already grateful for. And remember that this too shall pass. And also, if you think about it, the masses do not want this to occur. So people are already looking for solutions. I mean, we're hearing potential, pending solutions that are coming up. And so, there may be hard times, but it's going to pass, just like everything else. So I'd look for other opportunities. You see, a lot of people think that the way to make money is by trading hours for dollars. There's other ways to make money. There's many other ways to make money. So maybe it's a time to just start to look at other ways, start to study. You can use the internet. There's so much available that costs nothing if you have internet access. Even if you don't, go to a library. That's free. So there's no reason why people can't right now get excited, get inspired, turn their faith on, and look for ways that they can create perhaps a service that's really needed right now, especially while people go through these challenging times. I don't read the newspaper, but when I was at the airport yesterday, I saw a newspaper, and it was in the lounge, and I just happened to glance over at it, and there was something about this car service that had been started up that does this carpooling, and they organize carpooling and sharing of expenses of cars, car sharing, car ownership sharing, and I thought, well, there's a unique idea. So somebody thought of a way to create this as a service. They're making money, from an area that there wasn't presently a business, or there wasn't previously a business. And so this person, who created this, saw there was an opportunity. What does it do? It saves people money. It helps them. And there's so many ways that we can also look at, reducing our expenses at times like this. And so those are things that I think we can all do. We can all be contributing to part of the solution rather than being a part of the problem.
You just said a key thing here, which was that you don't read a newspaper. But really, we're getting so saturated by this fear through everything, internet, radio, TV, newspaper, everyday conversation. I mean, the hate, the fear, the anger, everything is coming out. So my question is, do we need to divorce ourselves from society in order to survive this?
It is. You're right, because I don't listen to the radio, or rarely do I listen to the radio. I don't watch the news, and I don't read the newspapers. But my husband reads the newspapers, and he reads them in French. So I can't read French, but they're there, and I can tell what they are. Or he'll want to tell me about it, because he loves that kind of stuff, and I don't. So he'll want to share. Oh, did you hear about blah blah blah? And it's just a conversation that occurs over breakfast or dinner. And you're right. But I'm on the internet all the time, and I turn, open my browser, it opens at, you know, one of the popular websites, or I open it at MSN.com, and you can't avoid it. It's right there. So what do you do? Well, what I do, and this is what I teach as well to do, is create, you know, things that are going to switch your emotional levels. So use switching strategies. So, for example, I think it's really important to keep really good reminders around you. I have affirmations that are pasted on my mirror. I have my goal card that I still, to this day, I still carry a goal card in my pocket. And I pull it out and I read it. And it's what I want to create in my life. That's what my affirmations are. They're my goals. And I record a power life script. And that's my life descriptive. With a lot of emotionally charged words, the way I choose for my life to be. And what I did was I wrote it out, and then I recorded it. I burned it onto a CD, and then I plugged that CD in my car. So I have one in my car. I have one beside my bed. I have it on my laptop. I just play it. It changes the way I'm feeling. So I think it's completely unrealistic to say, okay, we'll never have fear again. I don't think that's really, you know, a realistic expectation for a human being. Our emotions do go up and down. What I think is important is, especially right now, is find ways, get some tools, get some triggers, you know, so that you can switch your emotions when you need to. And it's like a volume that you just have to turn up. And now more than ever, you've got to really practice the faith. You've got to get excited. So if you were previously doing a couple affirmations a day, do 20 of them today. You know, if you were previously not listening to audios or you know, positive audios, start listening to them today. If you didn't read any of the materials before, maybe now's the time to pick up the books and read one a week and implement what you're reading and practice these techniques. And yeah, I'm not saying that you have to spend hours a day. I think it's a matter of just engaging in some things that are going to change how you feel. Like, I'm going to drive my car anyways, right? Like, I'm going to get my car, I'm going to drive it, I'm going to go to the store or to the bank or take my son to school or whatever. I'm in the car, so why not listen to something that's really powerful and positive, it's going to make me feel really good and creative. That's why I plug in my Power Life script. So I haven't added anything more to my day. I was going out in my car anyways. And same thing with my mirror and my affirmations. I'm getting ready in the morning. I get out of the shower. I'm reciting my affirmations. I have my vision board there. I'm looking at it. I have the statements on there. I'm saying them out loud. I'm toweling off. I'm going to be showering and toweling off anyways. I'm going to be putting my face cream on and getting myself all dressed anyways. So I just do those things while I'm getting ready. And it's multitasking, I suppose.
Well, that gives me a great idea. So when I'm surfing the internet or I happen to see an article on the internet, perhaps I should be putting a positive statement where I'm claiming my secure financial future and paste it to my computer so that I can see it, so that every time I read a negative story, I can balance it off with that positive statement. And perhaps I should be doing the same thing on the TV set. Put a positive statement right above the TV so that I can counteract the negative information that I get.
Yes, for sure. Right above the dashboard in the car. Like if you're at a stoplight, you're there anyways. You've got the brake on, and why not? Refrigerator door, like I have reminders. And actually, as we're sitting here, I looked over at a picture frame that I have of my husband and I, and it has these words that surround the picture, and it says, laugh as often as you can. Live life to its fullest. Love all those around you. And it just sort of circles the frame. And, you know, that's what I do. I just put all of these reminders around me. And I may get lost in negative thought or dark thoughts, and then it just I shift, I look, you know, my eyes just shift over there, or I touch my pocket because I know on my goal card there, I can feel it, or I go and look at the mirror, look at the fridge, plug my, you know, turn on the ignition of my car, my player's going. It's just all, I call them switching strategies.
Wow, I love the switching techniques.
You know what, that's why I designed the book the way I did, 21 Distinctions of Wealth. Here's a book that I designed specifically because Og Mandino's book, which is called The Greatest Salesman in the World. See, Og Mandino wrote this book many years ago, which was a huge bestseller. Are you familiar with his work?
No, I don't recall it.
Og Mandino, you probably love his material. Now, he's passed on. He passed on in the 90s. But one of my all-time favorite authors, and he wrote this book called The Greatest Salesman in the World. And it's not really a sales book, and it wasn't really salespeople that were buying it. But in the book, he had these, it's sort of like a parable. So it's a story. And in the story, there's this gentleman that gets these 10 scrolls for success. It's like this very poor guy who is a servant, and he ends up getting the 10 scrolls for success. And so the 10 scrolls are all these powerful messages, like, I will persist until I succeed. You know, I will live this day with love in my heart, and, you know, things like that. And so what Og Mandino did was he created a guidebook so that people would take the scrolls and they would read them 3 times a day for a period of 5 weeks, and you would record them. They even had a place inside the book where you can check off, you know, that you actually did read the scroll, you know, 3 times that day. And they were 2.5 pages, so it took, you know, not just a matter of seconds, it took minutes, several minutes to read them. And so he suggested, if you read these scrolls 3 times a day for 5 weeks, and there's 10 of them, you know, which takes obviously 50 weeks, so just under a year, your life will change. And so I did them, and absolutely my life changed in such a positive way, because it's like building belief systems. It's like going to the gym. If you go to the gym, if you started to go to the gym today and you worked out every day for 50 weeks, you'd be in amazing shape after 50 weeks. And so this is the idea. And so that book had such a profound impact on me, I thought, I'm creating one for wealth. And so 21 Distinctions of Wealth, I designed it in a way that explains, the chapter explains what's the distinction, and that at the end of every chapter, there are affirmations to read 3 times a day. Now, I suggest to read it for 21 days. So how it works is that you'd start on distinction number one, you read the affirmations 3 times a day. Now, they don't take several minutes. They actually take seconds because they're short. They're just a few paragraphs. And so you read the distinction or the affirmations 3 times a day, and then there's a place at the back where you can check it off. And you do that for 21 days, just for one of them. And then you move to distinction number two. And then you read those affirmations for 21 days, and then you check it off. And then you go to the next one. And I handed this book in, that submitted the manuscript to Hay House a year ago. It was September a year ago, and I'm now on distinction number 19, day 17. So I've been doing it now for over a year. It takes 441 days to get through it, but it'll change your belief system. You know, it's like the first one. Can I read it?
Absolutely.
All right, so let me give you an example of the first one. A shimmering gold fortune is mine. Wealth flows into me like a fertile river, nurturing me, enriching me, and helping me produce all that I desire. Inside me is sheer opulence. I'm filled with riches, teeming with possibilities. My tremendous wealth is flowing forth, nourishing my life and everyone around me. I have always had all the wealth that I need. I savor the riches that are my birthright. And so that's it. So you read it. How long did that take? We could have started the clock. I don't know, 17 seconds. It's pretty fast. So you read that 3 times a day. And again, it doesn't add a lot. Like, I carry my book that I check off with me wherever I go. And it's small enough. It fits in your purse or in a briefcase. Of course, not everybody carries a purse, but, you know, it's small enough you can carry it with you. And but why it's designed that way is to really help reinforce those messages. Because I think, you know, from my own experience, when I began studying personal development and I realized all this great material was out there and things that were obviously true, but I just didn't have the experience of, you know, that we are the creator of our reality. Well, I wasn't having that experience. I thought it was somebody else. And so once I really got a handle on that, I thought, well, I need to have this in front of me every day, not so that I can understand it. That's part of it, but so I can apply it. Because I think that, you know, seeking to find the knowledge is one thing. Understanding it is another. But applying it is really where the magic happens. And when I started to really apply it and not be fearful of it, you know, just really just give it a chance, you know, suspend disbelief, give it a chance. That's where my life really shifted.
Suspend disbelief, give it a chance. Wow, that's powerful. So is that how we apply it? Does this mean taking action or taking inspired action or allowing ideas or taking hold of the ideas that flow to you? What does applying really mean?
Yes. it's taking action. It's inspired action. It's where ideas come to you. Sure. And being open to that. So part of applying it is just saying, I'm open. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but show me the way, you know, universe or God or whoever you want to believe in. And then when you do get the inspired action, and inspired action is when you know at your gut level, this is what I need to do, and then you actually do something about it, you're going to get the results. You know, there's another great book that Hay House put out by Immaculee Ilibagiza, and it's called Led by Faith. And it's just been released just last month. And there's a story in there where Immaculee chose to have a wedding. Like she got engaged to her husband or her fiancé, Brian, and they were planning a wedding. Well, she had no money, but she wanted a wedding. So that was her outcome. It's like that distinction number 8. You don't have to know how you're going to do it. Just decide what you want. So Immaculee decided she's getting married. And she wanted to have a big, beautiful backyard, you know, wedding and the whole thing. So she planned it, and she invited guests. She didn't have a dress, she didn't have a location, and she didn't have anyone to pay for it. What she did have was faith. That's what she had, and she took action. And like with what I'm studying, you know, any of the people that have really done great things or even not so great things, I mean, planning a wedding, is that a big deal? Well, you know what? It is, because of what she really did. She really believed. You know, she had faith that everything would happen for her, and even though she didn't have a dress, she showed up at work one day, and this woman met her there. This woman she had never met before, did not know, and came up to her and said, "I'd like to take you for lunch today." And she said, "Yeah, sure, that'd be very nice." And she went for lunch with this woman, and this woman drove her to this designer who made wedding dresses and said, "You know, you can choose any wedding dress that you want. I'm going to pay for it. It's my gift to you." And she got back from choosing her wedding dress, and one of the ladies at her office said to her, "You know, I want to pay for all the food for your wedding. You know, would you please allow me to cover all the expenses for all the food?" And she's like, "Oh my goodness, yes, that would be so wonderful. I'm so grateful for that." And then a very short while after that, she ran into an old friend of the family she hadn't seen in many years, who said to her, "I'd love to host your wedding at my property. I have a beautiful place. It'll hold, you know, as many people as you want. And if you allow me to do that for you, I'd be very grateful." And so everything came together. And so it's, you know, it's a matter of engaging in the emotion of faith and taking action.
Now that's a great story.
It is. It's a great book too, Led by Faith.
What is it that we need to know about wealth?
All right. What do we need to know about wealth? Well, I have 21 things we need to know about wealth. What a great answer that is, right? But I mean, it's true. In all sincerity, if we think about, you know, wealth and what do we need to know, I think that was the question that I probably asked myself, or one very close to that, when I pulled myself off my kitchen floor and said, "Come on, Peggy, you know better than this." And, you know, things like, I won't read them all, but things like, we're already rich, we're born that way. And I think what that really speaks to is that, you know, some people believe, and I believe this was one of my beliefs as well, that wealth is something that's reserved for a select few. You know, there's people in this world that are chosen, and they're like the lucky ones, and they're the ones that are destined to be wealthy. And it's not me. You know, my destiny is something else, you know, like that was chosen before I came to this earth. And so I'm destined to be poor and to suffer and to live my life that way, and my family's going to live that way until the day I die. And I don't believe that. I think we all have the right to be rich. And you know, that there is an infinite supply of abundance. There was something that caught my eye earlier today. I don't even remember where it was, Julie, but there was something I was reading. I don't think it was a newspaper because I haven't seen one for a couple of days. Perhaps it was on the internet. Perhaps it was in an email that I received. But what it reminded me, it was an email. That's what it was. And because I literally get well over 1,000 emails every single day. So there was one that caught my eye. And it caught my eye, and I started to read it. And what it was basically saying is that, you know, if we look at, you know, United States of America, this is one of the richest countries in the world. And so has the money gone somewhere? Like, has it disappeared? No, it's still there. And so some people have it and some people don't. You know, there's those that hoard it, and there's those that, you know, keep it circulating in the universe. But it reminds me of the distinction number 3, that there is an infinite supply of abundance in the universe. I mean, there's plenty of money to go around, but there's some individuals or there's places where there's, you know, it's being held. And of course, if it's not circulating, it's not really serving. But there is a lot out there. And so if you look at the shift of wealth, you know, how can it go from one person to another person? Where'd it come from? Did it all of a sudden just get made one day? You know, it does. It circulates, right? It goes from one person to another person. Why is it that somebody can attract hundreds of millions, if not billions? You know, recently, as I was preparing for the I Can Do It event for Hay House in Tampa, I was looking at the, you know, some of the greatest billionaires on the planet, not just in the United States, but on the planet. You know, who are these billionaires? And so I was studying them. I was looking at how do they make their money. And there were 10 examples of individuals who had come from nothing, like absolutely poor, you know, circumstances that you would think there's no way this person is ever going to be wealthy. And yet they created billion-dollar ideas or billion-dollar organizations. So how does that, you know, fit in with all of these ideas of wealth? Well, the fact is that the ideas are available to anyone. And you'll find sometimes that you'll have an idea and someone else will have the same idea. You know, it's like energy that circulates in the universe, but somebody will act on it. And that's why sometimes you'll see, oh, my goodness, you know, this guy came up with this pet rock idea and has made an absolute fortune. I had the same idea, you know. It's like, well, why is that? Well, this guy acted on it, right? Or he attracted the right people at the right time and things took off for him. But I think that's, you know, those are the things that people really need to realize about wealth, is that there is this abundance that's out there. It is available for them. And that, you know, there's many, many ways that they can, you know, many roads or ways to abundance, and the fact is that they're already connected to it. They've just simply forgotten, and that they and this is such a really big point. It's not that complicated. It really is simple. It really is simple. It's just a matter of getting the beliefs, you know, the positive empowering beliefs into your DNA, meaning into your consciousness, that it just becomes a part of you, where it's, you know, it's like what some people will say to me, you know, you're the master manifester. You know, you want something, snap, you make it happen, right? You know, was I always like that? No. You know, I just, it's something that I've just chose to, it's like the person that goes to the gym. I chose many years ago that I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on me, understanding, you know, how I work first. That's really where the journey began. I'm going to get myself out of the emotional pain, get my life working, and then I'm going to help other people too. And I'm going to do it in a way that's so simple that they're going to get it and make positive change.
And then you created 21 Distinctions of Wealth. Simple.
Yeah, it is simple. It really, really is simple. There's not, you know, anything really complicated about that. You know, it's like I'm attracted to books all the time, and I was at the airport bookstore yesterday, and I was looking at what's there. And there was a book on, I can't remember the title right now, but there was a book on the bookshelf. And, you know, I really have this belief that the world doesn't need another self-help book, which is kind of bizarre coming from an author. But it's true. You know what? We really don't need another self-help book. But there's going to be another self-help book because people are looking for the answer. Actually, my next book, Julie, is called The One Thing. Yeah, and it's kind of a, it has humor in it, and it's actually coming out September 2009. But the idea is that I searched for the one thing, you know, that was the one key, the secret key to make my life, you know, work, be successful. And how other people do that too, you know, they search for the one thing that's going to make their lives really, really work. When I was at a Hay House event a couple of years ago, and they were going to publish Your Destiny Switch, which they did, they had bought the rights to it and published it. We brought it out last year. And I was talking to a couple of the ladies, one from the sales organization, one from the editorial department, and I said, I really wanted to call this book The World Doesn't Need Another Self-Help Book. And they didn't like that. I mean, most people laugh. You know, think that's funny. But the reason I don't like it is because it has a negative side of it, right? And that's what Hay House does. I mean, we produce, you know, self-help books. But the point is that, you know, there are so many books out there. And I looked at this book in the airport bookstore. I opened it up. I looked at the table of contents. It obviously captured my attention enough so that I would pick it up and open the table of contents. And I looked at it, and I thought, nothing new here. Nothing new here. And it's not that I think people are looking for something new. I think what people are really looking for is perhaps a new way to understand something so that they can make the change in their life. And that's why I designed 21 Distinctions of Wealth the way I did. It's just, you know, because what happens is with a lot of the authors, and you, of course, meet them a lot, Julie, with what you do, is that it's our stories. You know, it's our experiences. It's our understandings that we're sharing with people. And what happens is we get these emails or letters or cards from people who read our stuff and say, oh my goodness, I can so totally relate to your story. Or they say that when they're in the audience, you know, when you're presenting at the end of it, oh my goodness, that was me. You know, your story is my story. And that's what happens. So I think that's what makes a lot of books, you know, successful, is that people can really relate to the story. It's like Immaculee's book. I read it while I was sitting in my mom's hospital room, and there's a couple little stories in her book that really stick to my memory, and mostly because of what I teach others and how I, you know, love to learn from others so I can share with others, and that one story of Immaculee planning her wedding, and so that's it. You know, we're really all learning from each other.
Absolutely. You know, I get asked this all the time. How can someone who is deep in debt let go of their fear and anxiety and start reversing their financial situation?
The answer to that is in three words, and that is you have to act as if. You have to feel, probably better to say, feel as if. But there is action required, that you're no longer in that position. So what happens is when someone gets to that point where they're overwhelmed by debt and they're full of fear, what they're doing is, you got to remember, we wake up in the morning, we start to create. We're creating our tomorrows right now in this very moment by what we're doing, saying, and feeling, and thinking. And so if someone gets up and all they're doing is thinking about all the debt, they're thinking debt, I don't have any money, I'm full of fear, and that they're just creating more of that. They're going to get more of that. They're going to attract more of that into their life, and they'll have more of that tomorrow. And so, of course, when they get the evidence of it, which is what they were thinking today and feeling today, then it'll confirm it again. It makes it even stronger. It's a muscle. They're building that fear muscle, and they're taking it to the gym every single day, and they're working it out. So what can they do about it? Well, they need to practice another muscle. They need to work with another muscle, and that other muscle is faith. And so how do you do that? Well, you do what I said a little earlier. You create a life script. You script your life as you want it to be. So if you're in debt and you're overwhelmed with debt, well, what would you like? What would you like to have right now? This is what I'll do when I'm working with my clients. Say, what would you like to experience? And they say, what do you mean? I say, well, just don't worry about the how. Just tell me what it is you'd like to experience. What I'd like to not have debt. Well, what would that be like? Tell me what that would look like. Well, I'd have money in my account. Well, I can give you 10 cents. You can go put that in your account. You'll have money in your account. How much money? So they'll tell me, well, I don't know, $50,000. I see $50,000. Are your taxes paid? Yeah, they're paid up. They're accurate. They're paid in full. Do you have any investments? Yeah, sure, I have some investments. How much do you have in your investment account? Do you own anything? Do you own any properties? Do you own any real estate? What else is going on? Are you earning money? Do you have income coming in, steady income? Everything paid up, paid in full, paid on time? Script it. Describe it as you want. Well, that's what I'm experiencing right now. I know that. But if you keep giving energy to it, if you keep saying it, experiencing, acting upon it, then you're just going to keep creating more of it. So part of it is to develop the faith muscle. You use the tools. You create the life script. It's one of the best ways. Write and script your life as you want it to be. Read it. Listen to it every single day. And then look at ways of making money, attracting more money into your life. You don't even have to know how. Stay open to ideas. You may find something that just comes to you. Or you can also look at debt elimination. There's many ways. There's lots of organizations. This is another big growth area for these bankruptcy prevention companies. You know, they're on the rise, and you can go see those guys. And I mean, they're experts in this field. They know how to do it. Consolidation loan seems to be, you know, a pretty creative idea. You know, perhaps you can borrow against life insurance policies. I mean, there may be things that you haven't even thought of, obviously, because you haven't experienced the result. So you can find some experts, do some searching online, and that's the action. So when I say act as if, it's like do something about it. Don't just keep waking up every morning and having that experience again, because what you're doing is you're just creating more of it, and that's not what you want.
So the first step would be to take action to get you outside of the fear.
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that we don't necessarily need to remove the financial situation. We really need to remove the emotion so that the financial situation can improve.
Yes, exactly. You know, I really believe that a lot of people underestimate the power of emotion. They underestimate the destruction of emotion as well. And so we need to understand that. That's why I wrote Your Destiny Switch. Destiny Switch is all about our emotions. It's about the nature and the power of our emotions and how to use switching strategies and how to implement this into your life on a daily basis. I created something called the Scale of Human Emotions. It's like 12 dimmer switches. So if you can imagine one of those dimmer switches on a wall, well, imagine there's 11 of them right beside it. So if you think of the emotion of love, what's the opposite? Hate. If you think of the emotion of faith, what's the opposite? Fear. And so all of the bliss, you know, the of joy, you know, the most powerful emotion of happiness is, you know, a blissful state. The lowest level of that is like depression. And so all we need to do is just notice, well, what am I feeling? Just really pay attention to what you're feeling, because what you're feeling is that, as your show is all about the law of attraction, that's what you're vibrating, that's what you're attracting, that's what you're emitting to the world. That's what's going out from you. That's what you are using to create. And so if you're feeling, if you just start to become aware, I created a whole, this is free, by the way, on my website at destinies.com, there's a free emotional analysis based on the scale of human emotions. You can go in there. You can go through, do the emotional analysis, and you register so that your name and everything's in there. But here's what's more important. If you register, and it'll track your emotional levels. And this is what I suggest to people. You want to know what you're feeling on a consistent basis, go in and do the emotional testing. Do the test. It'll spit out. It'll tell you, here's your dominant emotions. Here are the levels that they're at. And here's some suggestions if you want to raise up those levels. So I added that as well, some techniques. And then you can go in 2 days later and do it again. You can go in a couple days after that and do it again. And at the end of the week, you can say, well, show me a graph of where my emotional levels have been. And it'll do that. I spent tens of thousands of dollars to have that developed. It's free. It's on my website. It's free. And I did that because I want to help people understand the nature and the power of their emotions, the nature, the power, and the destruction of their emotions. So they become aware. Awareness is so key in all of this. It's really the starting point.
Let me give the website again. It's www.destinies.com. That's DESTINIES.com. And while we're at it, if you happen to be on my host page, you'll see two books there, which you can just click on, and that will take you directly to Amazon where you can purchase the book. It's for 21 Distinctions of Wealth and Your Destiny Switch, both published by Hay House. So just click on those and you can purchase those right away. Peggy, should listeners try to be reasonable and practical about how much wealth they can attract and create so they won't be disappointed?
Oh, that is such a great question. It puts a big smile on my face as I hear you asking it because, you know, it really is a personal thing. And you'll find this is where the beliefs, the internal beliefs will really reveal themselves. So, you know, if someone says, okay, well, I'd really like to have more money in my life. Well, what is that? I don't know, 10,000? Was that all you want, all you need? Well, how much can I ask for? You can ask for anything. The universe doesn't care. The universe is saying, just tell me what you want. Well, you know, it's not realistic to ask for a million. Why not? Who says so? I believe that the universe says, you just ask for what you want. You know what? Even if you ask for a million, 10 million, a billion, and only 100,000 showed up, that's not so bad. So what is, you know, what is realistic? I think it really depends on an individual's belief system. Now, what some people prefer to do, and this is all a unique individual thing. I know I've set many goals that were completely unrealistic, and if I had to share them with others, they would have told me so. And so I don't share them with other people who will not support them. But you can set smaller goals. You know, if you want to sort of get yourself out of debt and you'd like to, you know, begin with $10,000. I mean, you'd really like to have $100,000, but start with 10. You don't really believe that. Because what happens is, I think if somebody says, okay, well, I'm just going to go for the big goal. So they set the goal at $100,000, but yet every day they're reading their affirmations or they're listening to the life script and going, nope, nope, nope. It's like cancel, that's not happening. That'll never happen. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. It's like they're farmers that go out and plant their fields, and then they go out the next day and they pull them all out. And then they go, okay, well, I really do need to focus on this, so I'm going to plant the seeds again. Okay, I'm so happy and grateful now that I've attracted an extra $100,000 in my life. So they plant the seed again. Then they go, oh, no, that's never going to happen. That's not for me. Then they pull it all out again. And this is why people say it doesn't work, or I don't see the results, or it's a bunch of garbage, is because they're creating, destroying, creating, destroying, creating, destroying. And so what I suggest is that start with a smaller goal. Build your belief system. Really practice it. Practice the law of attraction. You know, feeling what it feels like to already have it. When that goal manifests and you see the, you know, the amazingness of it, you know, you see the miraculousness of how it reveals itself, then set another one. And that's what's really exciting about all this. And that's, I think, what becomes very surprising, because you'll end up achieving things so fast that it almost makes your head spin, and then you're going, whoa, I better really think about what it is that I want. It's like that expression, be careful what you wish for.
So, bottom line for today's show, it really doesn't matter what our environment is saying. It doesn't really matter what the U.S. government is all about. It really doesn't matter what's going on with the world, because we can turn around and choose to create a different reality. Right?
That's right. It absolutely doesn't. So we've got to be more careful than ever to not get caught up. It's like the river that's flowing down the devastation, you know, the devastating flow. And just don't join in. Don't get on that flow. There's another river, and it's flowing another direction. You can become a part of that. What's also really exciting is there's very few people that are doing that. Very few people that are really riding the wave of, wow, this is an incredible opportunity.
Yeah.
And so it's not crowded. You know, Wayne Dyer did a great audio program called It's Never Crowded Along the Extra Mile. What is he talking about? He's talking about right now. It's not crowded along the road of, or the mile of, there's opportunity right now. It's not. And so those that realize that there is are the ones that are going to reap the rewards as a result of it. I mean, all we have to do is go back in history. Look at challenging times, and you'll find that where people making fortunes. It was in the Great Depression. People were making fortunes at a time where, you know, a lot of people lost everything. And, you know, everything. This is another interesting thing. You think about what's really important to you. It's like as I watch my mom in palliative care, who's, you know, about to leave this world, what's really most important? You know, having this whole experience has really led me to realizing that you could take away my house, my other house. You can take away my vehicle. I have a few of those as well. You can take away all my money. You can take away my business. It's not going to take away me. I still have me. That'll never change. I have my husband. I have my son. I have my family. I have my health. I mean, there's so much. Like if I said to you, how much, Julie, would you take if I had your arm? So I'm going to give you $1 million. Would you give me your arm?
No, I think I'll hold on to it. Thank you.
Okay, well, what about your eyes? I'll give you $10 million for your eyes. Just give me your eyes.
Well, no, I don't think I'd be interested.
We underestimate the value. Or, you know, if you have children or your husband, how much for your husband? Well, some people might give them away. But I wouldn't give away my husband for any amount of money. And, you know, so it's, you know, we really forget where there is wealth. You know, we forget that the air that we're breathing, okay, so I'm going to give you $50 million, and I'm going to take away the air that you're breathing. Is that okay? You're going to take that $50 million? No, because you're going to be dead. You won't be able to use the $50 million. And so we don't realize all these things, you know, these opportunities, my brain functioning as it is. You know, how about if I give you a whole bunch of millions for that, even $1 billion, and your brain will no longer function? No, I'm not taking it. You know, there's so much wealth we already have that we forget. And so what? You know what? Some people are losing their homes. And that's, you know, it's not that I say so what, meaning I don't have any sensitivity to it or feeling toward it. I know it's hard. I know it's hard for people. But the thing is, there's probably someone that will take you in, or another place you can go, or you can build again. You know, if you've built before, you can build again. Even if you haven't built your wealth before, you can build it now.
And so in reality, losing that home actually means that you're losing all of those worries, all of those anxieties because of what that home was causing.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And there's lots of ways. You know, I've known some people and some even past clients, they've gone bankrupt and, you know, they were devastated by it. And I said, well, what's great about it? What do you mean, what's great about it? Tell me, what has been great about this experience? How about the fact that you're able to do it? You know, like you just said, it relieves you of all that debt. Didn't you have some sense of relief? Yeah, but then it created this sense of insecurity.
Or failure.
Yeah, failure, right? I go, where's that come from? You know, it's internal. These are all the switches that are inside that we're pulling, right? We're raising up or lowering. We got to realize that power resides within. So if we want to experience something different, let's take note of what it is we're feeling. Let's make some new decisions to create some new emotions, to create a new result.
Excellent.
All right, so what I would suggest, you know, like sometimes people say to me, well, what can I do right now? So I say, yeah, you can do some things for yourself. Sure, you can look for opportunities. Sure, you can design a, you know, debt elimination or a wealth creation plan. Yes, you can do these other things. But here's a couple things that you can do that can make a tremendous difference. One is, if you think about what it is that you'd like to experience, especially as we go through these economic challenging times. So what you would like to experience is the calmness, the relaxation, the faith, you know, all those good emotions that are going to help you attract more abundance into your life. So if you think about that, what you can do is you can help someone else experience what it is that you're looking for. And so what do I mean by that? I mean that if you are feeling a lot of faith, and you're probably surrounded by others that are feeling the same thing, help them. Help them get through it. You know, offer them some ideas. Invest in a book. You know, books are so inexpensive. 21 Distinctions of Wealth is like $10, a hardcover book on Amazon.com. Get them that book or give them some tools or just share some great ideas that you've learned, some strategies. Because what happens is when we start to make positive change, we obviously experience positive results. When we start to help another, when we start to give to another that's contributing to their life in a way that is positive and empowering them and helping them to create positive change, it just backfires right onto us in the most glorious of ways. It's like a flame that gets even expanded even further. More oxygen is given to it, which comes back to us in beautiful ways, which enriches our lives and attracts even more abundance. It's like amplified. It's like the feeling of abundance amplified when we help another. So that's what I suggest to some people is, and that's part of why I say, don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. Well, what does it mean to be part of the solution? Well, one part of the solution might be to fix your own life, you know, start to make some positive change in your own life. And then another part of that solution is to help others. Look for ways that you can help others, even if it's volunteering some of your time, even if it's, you know, giving a talk, even if it's organizing a group, you know, support groups that are really dealing with this type of thing, you know, how these things just sort of, you know, come up out of nowhere in all kinds of different groups. And the internet is such a great way to do that as well. Be a leader. Take the initiative to be a part of the positive change by giving to another what it is that you choose to experience, and you'll get your result.
You know, that's something that everyone needs to hear again and again.
They do need to hear that. You know, we need to, especially right now, we need to be reminded of all of this. You know, I find it myself, I was having a conversation with my niece this morning, and I was telling her, I said, it, just like you said earlier, Julie, that it's hard to avoid any of this stuff, and you know, right now with it going on. And I had a dream the other night that I wasn't bringing in any revenue. It was something like in the dream, I don't remember it exactly, but it was like the business had dried up or something like that. And I remember waking up thinking, where's that coming from? Because I think our dreams can tell us some things sometimes. And so I was, you know, the first thought that I had is, you're getting exposed, and it's energy too, right? Like all this energy that's out there, whether you're hearing it or seeing it, you experience it, right? We're still exposed to it. It's like radiation poisoning in a way. It's like negativity poisoning and or debt poisoning. And so I thought, well, it's just the reaction to what's going on around me. And I'm not talking about around me in my personal life, but just in the economy, you know, just wherever you go. And so as a result of that, and just noticing that, I just said, okay, now it's time to turn up my volume. It's now time to listen to my life script 6 times today instead of 3, and now it's time to read my affirmations several times a day instead of a couple times a day, and you know, now it's time to share with another group of people of how you can build more wealth and attract more wealth into your life. And so that's what I do as a result of that. I pay attention to it. I notice what's going on. I notice if feelings are coming up, such as fear, and then I choose to do something about it in that moment, because we've always got that choice.
You're right. We have the choice here. And I would hope if anybody's in a lot of pain, a lot of financial distress, or a lot of worry about the future, that you go out and get this book, 21 Distinctions of Wealth, and follow the directions, and then let the wealth start coming to you. It's like, again, a change of attitude, a change of beliefs, but this book can definitely get you on track. Well, thank you so much, Peggy, for taking the time and coming on and sharing this absolutely wonderful information. And especially thank you for taking the time, even though you're in Florida, getting ready to go on the I Can Do It workshop put on by Hay House. So thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Julie, for what you're doing, because it's doing exactly what I said. You're making a positive contribution to the lives of others. So good for you.
Well, thank you. You know, I just love my job. So to all the wonderful listeners, I will talk to you next week. Have a great one. You have been listening to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, hosted by Jules Johnson. For more information, go to www.lawofattractiontools.com.